How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettay along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We'll go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. John Blau's with us. He covers the LSU Tigers for the Morning Advocate Times-Picayune. John, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me. It's obviously been a very eventful day.
Yeah, a little bit non-eventful from a standpoint of maybe what's on the field, but off the field. And I'll get your thoughts on it. I think, John, this it's certainly going to be a big story for the next couple of days. But I've talked to a couple of people there, and they feel as though this will be resolved fairly quickly between Jaden Daniels and LSU, and some hurt feelings, you know, on the Jaden Daniels side. And, you know, you never know where this is coming from, if it's from the agent, the mom, who knows. But that this will be resolved fairly quickly between Jaden Daniels and LSU.
And I don't know, John, Jaden Daniels should be worried about the Commanders right now.
He shouldn't be worried about LSU.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a weird situation. You know, I remember, you know, last week, obviously, Lane was asked about this, and I remember thinking at the time it's kind of a nothing burger that a guy's wearing number five. I mean, it's just a number. You know, the kid wore number five in high school. His entire family wears the number five, DJ Pickett's family. And so I didn't think much of it. And then, you know, late last night this happens, and, you know, there's a statement from the family saying how deeply, you know, disappointed they are, and they feel like, you know, maybe there's some different treatment between, you know, Jaden and Joe Burrow. And Brian Kelly with his statement and saying, well, we didn't want to give one Heisman winner's number away and not the other. And so they kind of refrained from doing it, but it was a promise to recruiting. So it's all just like kind of a mess. It's just messy as far as LSU's way that they go about retiring jerseys, but not numbers, and then which numbers are retired, which ones aren't, unofficially maybe. And then, yeah, I mean, obviously them not being able to resolve this, you know, privately, and this comes out publicly again with the statement last night and all that. It kind of seems like a mess that wasn't really necessary to happen. And I'm sure nobody wants this to continue on. So like you said, I would think it would get resolved at some point, and hopefully quickly.
It's a fumble at this stage.
Yeah.
On maybe both ends, but mostly I think with Jaden Daniels. I mean, I get it, but man, to kick about it now, I think is just sort of irrelevant. But again, I've been told this is going to be resolved fairly quickly. Bob and I talked about this. One of the first recruits that Lane Kiffin brought in was a kicker. He was an all-freshman SEC kicker from Arkansas. And you don't want to have games. Bob brings it up. What if it comes down to a game-winning kick against Ole Miss?
Better make it.
Or Texas A&M. No, you want a guy that's been there, done that. And you know what Coach Kiffin has talked about? How closely college football is to the NFL today, and how these games are razor close. And I do think that's a big part of this 2026 season for the Tigers.
Yeah, I mean, you need everybody. Because like you said, I mean, the parity in college football, you know, I think Coach Kiffin talked about this earlier in the offseason, just about how everybody maybe looks at certain teams, and they think maybe like Kentucky, like you could overlook them. But they're getting, you know, the backup linebacker from Georgia who could get paid as a starter over at Kentucky. And they got some players now. And so yeah, I mean, you need absolutely every single phase to be where, you know, as strong as it could possibly be. Obviously, there are issues sometimes getting every single thing you need because you only have so much money and you can't pay everybody. So, yeah, I mean, there's no stone to be left unturned. Special teams matter. I mean, coaches talk about it all the time. It's a, you know, we kind of laugh at them. Just stop talking about special teams. But, yeah, you know, a kicker who can put it through the uprights, a long snapper who can get it back to the holder. The holder puts it down. There's a whole lot to the operation that, you know, I think us fans and media members even forget sometimes.
Now, John, looking at the first game against Clemson, I would say last year, shame on LSU if they didn't win, considering they held Clemson to 10 points and they only scored 17. I'd say if they held Clemson to 17, the offense better, they better do something to win. So, but when you look how Clemson under the radar compared to last year, I know you're familiar with that situation. They end up finishing 7-6, disappointing season like LSU. The two Tigers were disappointed. But right now, when I look at it, I'm more optimistic, and I'm like, well, LSU should win at home against Clemson come September the 5th, and it's going to be here before you know it. Compared to last year at Clemson, I didn't know if they were going to win.
Yeah, I mean, it's so strange looking back to last year, and I think that's why I feel hesitant to make any predictions about who's going to win this game, because it's like, you know, everybody thought this was a battle of top five teams. They might play each other in the national championship right. The next, you know, at the end of the year, and then they're both 7-6 and both had terrible years. But this is an interesting Clemson team because, I mean, one of the biggest weaknesses of that team last year for Clemson was their secondary was just full of holes. I mean, people were just getting explosive plays over the top, left and right on them. And they did go to the transfer portal. They got, you know, some really experienced guys at the back end there. They got some questions, obviously, at offensive line. And their quarterback has one career start. And that came against SMU is one of the worst pass defenses in college football. And so I think all the pressure is on LSU. I mean, everybody looks at the roster and how much they've invested in that. And that roster, again, like you said, the game is in Tiger Stadium. But at the same time, I mean, Dabo Sweeney loves to be able to talk about little Clemson, and you know, and I think the line he's putting out there now is like, we're just a bunch of nobodies, and I don't even have any starters.
So, he's soft-soaping it, brother.
Yeah, so he's really laid it all thick, and he wants everybody to overlook Clemson. And I wouldn't be surprised. Again, going back to last year, you never know what's going to happen in these games. So, I mean, I could imagine Clemson coming in here. They got some players. They'll win the football game. But I just think that a lot is on this game for LSU just because it's the debut of Lane Kiffin. You got all that investment in the roster. I mean, they should win the game. But again, who knows? It's football.
Hey, gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are going to move. We are going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, John, you know, I always say this, playing the quarterback position, the quarterback's best friend is the running game. You look at Caden Durham now with his experience in LSU uniform playing that running back position. But and then you look at Harlan Berry. Now, he had a team best, what, average 4.7 yards per carry, right on the 500 yards. But I'm kind of intrigued. Tell me what you think about this. Because you look, it is by committee a number of teams, whether it's college football or the NFL, by Wisconsin transfer Dylan Jones. I'm kind of optimistic on with him. Now, he had a toe injury that limited him to 300 yards in 7 games last season. But if he's healthy, I don't know. And you know, with Lane, who's the workhorse? Who's the man? Dylan Jones could end up being the guy.
He might be that guy.
Yeah. I mean, he came out of spring practice as kind of the guy. And he's still running as a kind of – I mean, it's hard for us to tell going to these practices. We only get 10 minutes and it's individual drills. But he is the first guy in each drill going through for the running backs. And, I think people forget. I mean, he was a 4-star recruit coming out of high school. I think was top 10 in his position. I actually went back and talked to a lot of his high school coaches in Maryland. And I mean, he was a great wrestler. So he has great contact balance. He has great toughness. He works really hard. I mean, I talked to his dad. I mean, he had asthma when he was 8 years old, but would go on runs around the neighborhood with his dad, like run a mile when he was like 6-7 years old, just like following his dad around the neighborhood. And he's just a real tough guy. He works really hard. He's 5'11", 211 pounds, and he gives you both that home run threat but also a little bit of power, between the tackles, and I've heard he's a great pass blocker. So he's got a really kind of a well-rounded game. Again, it was that injury-shortened year that I think kind of hurt his stock in the transfer portal. I think he was ranked barely inside the top 80 running backs available in the portal by some of these recruiting services because everybody forgot about him, but I think he's kind of being remembered. Since he's gotten to LSU, he's kind of reminded people of how good he is.
One of the guys, if I would have said this in February, I wouldn't even believe myself. Dylan Jones is part of it. Because, man, if you'd have told me in February with Caden Durham, Harlan Berry returning, Dylan Jones is running with the ones, man, I'd have questioned that. The other guy is Bo Bordelon, because they brought in so many offensive linemen. You know, Bo's in his last merry-go-round at LSU, and having watched his dad, Ben, who was Central Lafourche guy, and
was with the Chargers.
Yeah, and was a terrific player for the Tigers. I would have thought it was the younger brother, Brent, that would have really pushed for the starting spot. But now Bo is running with the first team. Great for him. But that is a fantastic story that he kind of got moved all over the board along the offensive line, but now running with the ones, that offensive guard.
Yeah, and he's all SEC academic, so you know he knows the plays.
Yeah. I think he was like a blocking tight end last year.
Yes.
Right? That was kind of all he would get in there doing. But, yeah, you talk to every single one of his teammates. I mean, Jordan Seaton actually came out today and mentioned it as well. That they see him as like a number 18. Obviously, he can't wear number 18 on his jersey because he's an offensive lineman, but there would be like a patch if you were to get it. And just has the ultimate respect of his teammates in terms of his work ethic. And, again, like you talk about, he probably knows the playbook. I mean, he's just a great leader is what everybody says about him. And, yeah, I think everybody, because these recruiting services and we all look at the stars and, you know, if you haven't played in your first 3 or 4 years, that means you're not any good. And everybody forgets that offensive line is a very developmental position. You might have guys that maybe by their fourth year, obviously both in his fifth year, hit their maturity and kind of find a new level. So I wouldn't be surprised, yeah, if he's the guy. He's been one of the consistent four out of five with Jordan Seaton and Alu Ball and Braylon Moore and Bo Bordelon have been the really consistent guys in camp that we see kind of practicing together, being that first team, and just trying to figure out if Weston Davis can be that right tackle. But, yeah, Bo Bordelon could be a really great story this year.
Now, John, now I'm looking at my crystal ball. I don't know what that's worth, but and not just because he's my good buddy, Coach O, you know, my college roommate, won the state championship in 77 at South Lafourche. But I'm telling you right now, I think they got a great mixture on the D-line. I think when you look at, like, Prince, who was dominant last season, third in the SEC in sacks, eighth in tackles for loss, and then you look at the former Tennessee transfer, Jordan Ross. He was freshman all-SEC. And then you have the young studs, the heralded freshmen, like Richard Anderson, Deuce Gerrals. You know, as a quarterback, you know what you want to do in a post quarter? I think even at the major college level or even college in general, when you want to get the opposing quarterback, rush the passer when it feels like a blitz, but it's not a blitz. So I'm looking at right now, if LSU, if they don't have to blitz to generate pressure, come on, your coverage, shame on them if they don't have success. If you can rush four and you have seven in coverage and it feels like a blitz. So I'm telling you right now, I think out of all the position groups, I think that LSU's D-line is going to play like the Tiger Nation, how we feel as fans that we've witnessed in the past they should be playing.
John, the other thing about it is we had Coach O on right before he took the job back at LSU, and he told me, when I asked him, would you do anything different, in the way you used your rotation, because he was always a 7, 8, 9-man rotation. He said, absolutely not. That's what I want. I want 7 to 8. And he said, if I can squeeze a ninth, I'll get it, because I want my top guys in the game in the last 5 minutes
so they're
to
not
get
tired
after the quarterback.
And they're getting after the quarterback. They feel fresh as a daisy, like it's the first quarter instead of the end of the game and trying to hang on.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it was a great defense last year for LSU, but the one thing they really couldn't do is get enough pressure on the quarterback. So that's what kind of took them from a good, pretty good defense to, you know, obviously what could be a great defense. And like you said, Princewell, Monty Mellon, Jordan Ross is a question. He's got so much talent. Obviously, he was a 5-star recruit. Hasn't had really the production you would expect. So, I mean, if he can get to the level you want him to be at, and those two freshman defensive tackles are really interesting, because the question is, you know, they're running with the ones. Is that because the guys behind them aren't very good, or is it because, you know, they've already established themselves as pretty special? I think it could be the latter. I mean, Deuce Gerald is a guy that, again, I cover Clemson. I've heard people already comparing him a little bit to like a Peter Woods type. I mean, just a guy who's really quick, getting through a gap, and can just really disrupt things on the inside. Richard Anderson is huge. I mean, he's like 6'3". 335 pounds. I mean, you usually want pretty mature guys, you know, playing on that interior, but, you know, these guys might actually just be ahead of the curve. So, I mean, if those two guys are really great, and then you can bring in the Filan Greens and the Malik Blocktons and Dominic McKinleys and all those guys, yeah, like you said, have a really deep defensive line you could rotate, then, yeah, you're going to be getting after the quarterback. You're going to be doing it the fourth quarter, too, and everybody else is tired.
John, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always great insights. Appreciate it, bud.
I'll see you.
All right, righty. John Blau covers the LSU Tigers for the Times-Picayune Morning
Mike,
Advocate.
And, Mike, isn't it unusual? Wasn't he covering Clemson, and now he's covering LSU?
Clemson now. LSU. Wilson left
to
go to On Three, he came down to cover the Tigers.
Different Tigers. That's kind of unique. You know, you consider. Do you think at this time last year he thought he'd be covering LSU? He got the Clemson gig.
No.
You know, you gotta be flexible.
That's it.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.